Hey, today is a very familiar psalm to us. It would be Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
All right, as Warren said, that should be a very familiar psalm, and I love that he reads in the King James, because that's how I memorized it, and I was saying it as he spoke. And like I said, when it comes to the psalms, I think they're more beautiful in the King James, because they are poetry, they are songs, and we should be in them. We should be in them daily. And so now we're continuing our summer in the Psalms, and this is week four. I think we have 2 or 3 weeks left in this, and then we're going to still be in Psalms for a while, but we're studying the types of Psalms right now, and this is a Psalm of confidence. Psalms of confidence, they describe the author's trust and faith in God. Typically with a central image or theme. And this is what's great about Psalm 23. Psalm 23 really shows us how David understood God. He compares God to being his shepherd in this, but there's so much more. Examples of these psalms are also Psalm 11 and Psalm 27. Psalm 27, you probably know Psalm 27:1, the Lord is a light unto my way, light unto my path. Oh man, I'm messing this one up. But you would know it. But here's the thing. Psalm 23 also brings us comfort in our times of distress. Many people who go through this stuff will look and they will go to Psalm 23 whenever there is distress in their life, whenever there is problems in their life, whenever they are dealing with high levels of stress or depression or anything. They turn to this psalm. And there's no doubt about this. Psalms of confidence are also psalms of comfort. They help us to understand God in the times when he seems most distant. When we get desperate, when we come to understand that we have this confidence in God, it strengthens us. David shows us the one thing that the Israelites and their forefathers had was an understanding of the Lord, and that they knew him in his names. And that's why I wanted to focus on Psalm 23, because it is unique in that we get so many names of the Lord in this. If you look at this in the original Hebrew, it is just a cavalcade of names. In fact, if you want to know names of the Lord, you can go into our quiet room, meeting room, prayer room, whatever you want to call it. And as soon as you walk in, turn and look to your left. And on there we have a wall with the names of the Lord on it. That's where we get these names. And this is where David is. Names have special meanings. Parents name their children after certain qualities that they see. People name their pets after certain qualities that they see. People name their cars. I don't get that, but people name their cars after certain qualities. When you think of it, names are a lot. When we look in the Bible, we see that Jacob means supplanter, or someone who plans against something, or someone. And this became true when Jacob was born, and his brother Esau was born first. We read it. Esau's hand comes out. They tie a ribbon around him to say, hey, he's the first one. Pulls the hand back, but Jacob comes out fully first. Years later, he supplants. Sell me your birthright for a bowl of porridge. Not only does he do that, then, with the plot of his mother, he makes himself feel, I won't say look, makes himself feel like his brother to his blind father. And he gets the blessing. So we see where names mean something. John means grace of God. Noel means child of Christmas. We can see how names can be fun to break down. Take Angus. It's a strong Scottish and Irish name. But yet it has two meanings because of that. In one language, it means one. And in the other language, it means choice. Cities are also named based on location. There are cities that get named because they're near a river or a stream or an ocean. In fact, when Roger Williams founded Rhode Island, he named the capital Providence because of his faith in God and that God would show his providence to him. So let us look at how David comes to understand God when we break down these psalms. We look in Psalm 23. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lay down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me on paths of righteousness for his namesake. Now, this is David showing a confidence that God is a shepherd and provider. And we see this in Psalm 23 right there. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. This is Jehovah Raha. That's how you would see it. Jehovah Raha in the Hebrew. And let's be honest, David would know what a shepherd is. He was one. He can see where God moves, where God gives him that comfort and that confidence in his life, where he is moving him. See, one thing about sheep, which we should all know, is sheep are dumb. Sheep are dumb. It's interesting that the Bible calls us sheep. I think only God could call us dumb. We're not going to like it. But God, who's our shepherd, shows us. He shows us to trust in him. He shows us how to put our faith and confidence in him. Think of this. When a lamb keeps running away, the one thing that the shepherd will do is the shepherd will break its legs and then patch those legs up, you know, get those set. But then he wears the lamb, usually over his shoulders or in a satchel in front. And how that does that is that gives them, the lamb, that gives them a sense of comfort, a sense of peace, a sense of knowing that they are safe. And how many times do we as Christians have to be broken before we turn to the Lord to understand that the Lord is trying to help us put our faith and trust in him? This is where David talks about, and David would know this. When you think of this, David gets anointed at about 17 years of age to be king. But he isn't going to be made king until he's 40 years of age. So for 23 years, he goes through a civil war. He goes into hiding. He's basically called a traitor, a terrorist, whatever you want to call him. His own father-in-law, the king of Israel, wants to hunt him down. His only friend and protector is Jonathan, his brother-in-law, who's also his best friend. But he also knows that his other protector is God. And he puts his faith and trust in him. And we see over and over in the stories how God just sits there and helps him understand this. Twice over, he is given the opportunity to kill Saul. In one of them, and this might get graphic, but it says this. It says in the King James, I will say that, that as he pisseth on the wall, David went over and cut part of his cloak. And when Saul comes out, David's sitting there and he's holding the cloak. And he's trying to tell him, the Lord gave me into my hand. The Lord gave you into my hand, but I chose to spare your life. He knew that the Lord was in control of his life. And the other thing was, he also knew that the Lord was in control of Saul's. He saw him as a shepherd. He also saw that he would provide. Provide. Jehovah Jireh. We sing a song. You know, there's a song, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. It's really good. It's got that Hebrew Jewish cantor that goes. But that's what it is. During this time that he is on the run, God is providing for David. He sees where God is providing food and shelter and help along the way. He gives him loyal men to serve with him, to protect him, not sell him out. And this is what goes on. And it's a reminder that when we have that type of thing from God, we feel safe and relaxed. When we understand that God is our provider, no matter what, you know, we look at today, we look at the economy, the inflation, all the stuff going on, and we can worry and we can just sweat and just worry that, hey, where am I going to get my gas? And look at the gas prices, look at the inflation, how am I going to provide food? God's sitting there saying, trust me, I will provide. And that's what we have to do. That's what David does here. This is what this psalm teaches us. Put your faith and trust in him. The second portion is this. There is confidence in the healer, justifier, and his name. And that's all in one verse. Verse 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We look at that. The first one, the Lord that heals, Jehovah Rapha. We call Jesus the great physician because we trust, we see in the Bible how he heals. How he touched people who put their faith and trust in him. And it goes more than physical healing. For David is going through this trial. And when you read the Psalms, you can understand that David has a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear. In fact, Psalm 42 and 43, people will say, those who go through severe depression or bipolar depression, they get the most comfort out of those two. Because those describe that type of depression that they go through. When everything feels like despair, when they want to die. David knew that. But David also knew that God would heal his mind. God would give him comfort. And for us, it's the same way. We pray when we have physical problems, when we have aches and pains. We pray to God, we ask God to take those aches and pains away. But when we're stressed, when we have problems at work or school or wherever, we pray and we have to have that same faith and trust that God is going to take those things away. When we're worried and we want God to help us take over the anxiety and the depression, we need to have that trust that he's going to do it. And that's what David does. He says it in other psalms. I put my trust, I put my faith, I put my life into your hands. And right here, we see he restores his soul. So whatever's going on at this point when David's writing this, it's showing us that he knew God was going to heal, whether it was his mind or his body, his relationships, whatever was going on, he put that trust and faith in God. He also talks about leading him on the path to righteousness. Now there, again, we see the shepherd leading. Shepherds lead with their crook and staff. We look up here. I always call the stained glass Shepherd Jesus, because it shows him with the lamb. It shows him with the staff. And that's what happens. They lead. They see the lambs going off the road. They had the crook. They would bump them over. It's got the hook, so as if it goes over the edge, they can pick it up. Or they can just hook it and lead it back onto the road. And that's the way we need God at times. We need God to lead us. And where does he lead us? He leads us into righteousness. You know, that's the thing we have to understand. When we put our faith and trust in God, he baptizes us in the Lord Jesus' righteousness. He gives us what we don't deserve. And so thus far, we're justified in God's eyes because of the righteousness of Jesus. It's a reminder that we could never, never live the righteous life that God wanted, but that Jesus did it. And once and for all, we are covered in that righteousness. And it leads to this other point. This is the interesting thing. The Lord is our banner, Jehovah Nissi. It's an interesting word. It's an interesting thing to think about. When I was playing hockey years ago, feels like years ago, it's actually just 13 short years ago. It was the last time I played hockey. I was playing for a group of Christians. We would tour the country. We would go into tournaments up in Canada and around the United States. And the guy that had formed this team, we ended up getting so many guys, we had four different teams. We had the Ice Disciples, the Crusaders, Crossfire, and I can't remember the fourth team's name. Fourth team kind of fizzled out, but when I was part of the Ice Disciples, we had our names on the back. Guess what? It wasn't our name. It was this, Jehovah Nissi. Because we are given the name of the Lord. This is what David's talking about. He knows that he is God's. He knows that he is a child of God. He knows that God has adopted him as his son. And it's interesting because the Bible tells us that we might have our own names right now, but we're going to have new names when we get to heaven based on how God knows us. So just as David and the Israelites and the writers give us these names, we're going to find out that, hey, guess what? You like your name? You're going to keep it, but God's got a new name for you. We see that in the Bible, right? We see it. We have Simon. Jesus says, you're Peter. Saul, Paul. Already was happening in the New Testament. But it's an interesting thing. What is, you know, we could play that game. What do you think God's going to name you? For David, he took this to understand that that name meant that God had given him something special. that that name was going to mean something, and that he was also given the name of God. It's a reminder for us that we are ambassadors as children of God. As God's adopted children, we are given this role of ambassadors. And when we go out into the public, do we represent our Father right? Do we represent him with utmost respect? All you got to do is watch the royals, and you see how it is with Prince Charles and Prince William. They represent their mother and grandmother, the queen. And if we're representing a king, you know, we can put ourselves into those roles. When we're in public, do we represent God the best we can? Do we represent his name? His name is holy. It is just. This leads us to the third and final point. David was confident in his peace, presence, and grace. We look at this. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. Think of that. The rod and staff. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. So right there, he feels his presence even when Saul was after him. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's that goodness and mercy that he sees. It's a comfort knowing that it continues what we learned with God's righteousness. Now, let me go back. I didn't say this, but with God's righteousness, the Lord our righteousness, it is Jehovah Kitsinu. It's a very hard word to say because it has a T in front of it. But it continues that thought. We go back to verse 4. Even though he walks through the valley of the shadow of death, he will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He's got this comfort, he's got this peace. It's a reminder of Jehovah Shalom, the Lord, our peace. And we have to have that, especially in times like now where we see all sorts of things going on in the world, political messes, world wars, all this stuff going on right now, and we worry. But the question is, do you have the peace of God? In other words, we look at this. Even though David is going through this valley of the shadow of death, he knows that if he dies, he's before the presence of the Lord. He has that peace. And how many of us have that type of peace? How many of us know that when our eyes close, if anything happens to us, we're going to wake up in the presence of the Lord. And it'll be a joy unspeakable, a joy that we could never explain to the living. This is what David sees, and he knows this. Speaking in that term, he talks about his enemies. And he talks about Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is present. He understood that no matter where he was, God was with him. Even when God felt the most distant, God was with him. It's a reminder. We all know, I'm sure we all know the poem, Footsteps in the Sand, I think is what it's called. We all know that poem. And for some people, they kind of look at it. It's a little kitschy, but it's true when you think of it. When we're walking side by side with God, there's that two sets of footprints. But when there's one, it's because we come to this point where our fears get us, and we can only trust and lean into God. And in those cases, it's where God is carrying us. It's where God is bringing us to a place of understanding, a place of holiness, a place where He is present. He is always there, even when we feel that He isn't. And for David, there were many times, like I said, you read the Psalms and you get the idea that at times he thinks that God is not there, but he knew God was there. He'll always begin these things. My heart melts like wax. Where are you? And then, as he closes it out, he's like, but my hope is in the Lord. My faith is in the Lord. My life is in the Lord's hands. And that's what we have to have. That's what we have to trust and believe that we have. The final name is this. And if I were to put this up there, it looked like old Scots. Jehovah Makadosh. The Lord who sanctifies makes holy. This is in verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Like I said, this goes back to the Lord our righteousness, Jehovah Kitsenu. He knows that it is the Lord who is going to sanctify him. The Lord who is going to make him holy before his presence. David sinned like all men. He was born into sin. He even says that. And even in his own sin, he writes Psalm 51. Asking God to forgive his sin. And allowing the Lord to be in his presence again. He sits there and he asks these things. He says to him, I trust you. I trust that no matter what, I am yours. It's understanding that God's peace is on us. We sense the presence and we're made holy in his sight. But these are the things that we also struggle with. These are the things that we also fight with. These are the things that we look at our loved ones and we see how they struggle. And we have to understand that our walk with the Lord is an ongoing thing. We're continuing to grow. And here's the kicker. Our growth will not finish until we are in heaven. But David understood these names, these eight names of the Lord. He got this, and what this gave him was a confidence in the Lord. This gave him a solid confidence and feel. He knew that he could trust him. He knew that no matter how many times Saul went after him, or later on, how many times Absalom went after him, God was there walking with him. God was providing. God was shepherding him. God was blessing him. He had this confidence in the Lord because he knew the Lord. And we can have that same relationship. It's tough, I know. It's tough in times when we're struggling, when we're wrestling with things, when we're trying to understand what the Lord is doing in our lives. When we look at the TV and we see all the stuff going on in the world, and we can rejoice in one breath and then wonder where he is in the next. But here's the thing. He's still there. He's still there. When we go to pay the bills and We find out we have $1 left. He's still there. When we go and we're at work and we're struggling because there's stuff going on, whether it's the work itself or our coworkers making it hard for us to live like Christians and have a Christian attitude, he's still there. He's with us. We need to go forward in that. So here's what I'm going to say for your next steps. I want you to read this. And you know what? I'm going to provide y'all with a copy of this. I only did one page today. I wasn't thinking because it was going to be hot. But I want you to study this. I want you to understand the names of the Lord. I want you to understand that God loves you with an incredible love, a love that we can't understand, a love that the world struggles to understand. Because we have this confidence. We understand that we are his child. A lot of people take that, you know, we talk about how the world twists things. There are churches that twist that and say, we're little gods. We're not little gods. We're a child of God. We're human. Read the book of Acts. Understand the humanness of the disciples and apostles. They died. They weren't resurrected. They will be resurrected when God chooses it. Just like those before us, our loved ones will be resurrected. Just as we will be resurrected one day if the Lord tallies. But I want you to go home and I want you to read this and I want you to begin diving deep and understanding who the Lord is. How many of you know even what your name means? Well, I got one. I know what my name means. I have, again, when it's Scotch and Irish, it's interesting because both names are... The name in both mean one thing different. One means leader, the other one means dark-haired stranger. I think I missed the thing there. Anyway. But it's understanding what our names mean. We have a couple of people here, like Mike, Michael. He has EL at the end of his name, and that means God. So his name has to do with the Lord. We know Samuel, same thing. So how many of you know what your name means? Why does it mean that? How much of that personality is the same? Big joke is my middle name is James, which is the Anglicized version of Jacob. So I supplanted somebody. I don't know who. At least that's what my parents would say. But I was actually named after my grandfather, and that's a long story. But here's the point. We need to learn and study and understand who we are in God. That's why Ephesians is a beautiful book to read. The first two chapters show you who you are in God, what God has done for you, how he has redeemed you, and the things that you are to him. And the things that he doesn't see anymore in you. They're good places to begin. They're good places to go. But understand who God is. Understand who he was to them. Look at this and write down, when you get it, write down beside it where you have seen God be your shepherd, your provider, your healer, your righteousness, your banner. Your peace, your presence, the sanctifier and holy maker. And then keep it in your Bible. Keep it in your Bible. Hold on to it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we come before you now, and Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you would continue to reveal to us and show us who you are. Continue to reveal to us and show us what you have done. And Father, let us find our confidence in you. Father, no matter what's going on, what we are fighting with in this day and age, show us your presence. Reveal to us your name, and let us come to know you by other names. Father, you are God of the 11th hour to me and Natalie, and I thank you for that. And to these people, let them come to know you by that name or other names. Provide for them and show them these. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.